everybody, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Roost Podcast. As always, I am Carter Spires, here with my co-host Matthew Bartlett, owner and proprietor of The Roost, your number one source for Rice sports news and analysis on the internet. This week, we're going to be talking about special teams, and since aren't quite enough guys at positions to talk about on that side of the ball to fill a whole episode, we're going to bring you a little transition and talk about some former Owls currently in the NFL. And as part of that, we have a special treat for you guys this week.
Yeah, got to know a fan favorite, Jack Fox, when he was kicking balls at South Main the past couple years. So we went ahead and sat down with him with a couple minutes, and we just kind of caught up on what his life's been since the draft and training camp and what that's like, and just touch base with him a little bit, and then, you know, got his insight on some of the guys that are on the roster right now. So it was a good chat, and we think y'all will enjoy it, and always good to hear from Jack.
Definitely. He's fighting for that job in Kansas City right now. Had a great start to the preseason in his first game, but we'll get more on that once we get in the interview with him. So let's get started by talking about the actual positions on special teams. We might as well get started with Jack's old position of punter. Looks like we've got a bit of a battle here between redshirt senior Chris Barnes and TCU grad transfer Adam Nunez. So how's the battle looking between those two guys?
So if you figured out yet that Rice likes to kind of hold things close to the vest when it comes to competitions, so even if there was a clear leader right now, I don't think anybody would tell me other than what you can see with the eye test. And so far what we've seen with the eye test is they really are two very different kind of punters. I think we kind of got spoiled last year watching Jack, and he was the kind of guy that could boom a ball 60 yards and put it in the corner, and not everybody can do that. So what we've seen so far is Adam Nunez from TCU had 36 starts through his college career before he got to Rice, and he has a really good directional kicking game. That component of being able to pin somebody in a corner, or, you know, what if you need 30 yards and you don't need 50 yards to kind of get you the field flipping kind of punt you need to get folks pinned back in the red zone. So that's kind of what he has shown that he's really good at so far through fall camp. And then Chris Barnes, I mean, he was kind of expected to have the job when Jack left because of how impressive that he'd been throughout his time at Rice. And he's kind of got the big legs. So when it comes to needing someone to boom that big punt, he closed out the first scrimmage with probably 50 plus yarder with ease. So I wouldn't be surprised if by the time we, at least through non-conference play, we're definitely going to see both of them on the field, I think. And if both of them kind of succeed in the roles that they're shaping up to hold right now, then it could be a situation where Rice intentionally uses two punters this season, which, you know, might be a first, but given how this staff likes to, you know, divvy up responsibilities, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I've ever heard of that before with punters doing it, but, it, you know, thinking about it, it's kind of surprised that you haven't seen a team do that. I mean, it's obvious why they don't do that kind of thing in like the NFL and stuff, because obviously you're not going to keep, you know, multiple that many kickers around. But like, there are lots of college teams, you know, I've seen Alabama do it a dozen times, and Rice did it last year with Jack and Hayden Zabola. But there are plenty of teams that use multiple field goal kickers. You know, they have one guy who's maybe a bit more accurate, but doesn't have quite enough leg strength to hit the long ones. And so they, you know, bring in another guy to hit them from like 45 plus. So it's an unusual situation at punter, but if it ends up being that, but, you know, thinking about it, it's a perfectly logical way to go about doing it. And it's kind of surprising that you don't see more teams that maybe have issues at punter kind of going that way.
Yeah. And so when I was talking with Jack, that didn't make it into the interview, but afterwards, you know, he was kind of like just checking back on everybody. And he was like, so, you know, how are the guys doing? How's Chris doing? What's the competition look like? And he actually brought up to me that LSU last year used two punters. So they had one guy who did more of a traditional straightforward leg punt, and then they had a rugby style punter. And, you know, they kind of deployed those guys interchangeably based on the situation. So It at least has been done before to some degree. I don't know if it's quite how Rice would do it, but, you know, these coaching staff likes to tinker and figure out unique things. So why would we be surprised with something like this?
Yeah, that's not LSU's had that that Australian punter connection going back for a while now, dating back to I think Brad Wing was the first one, and he had a bit of a had a short time in the NFL, and I always remember him the first year. This is a bit of a tangent, but the first year they had that penalty where you could get a touchdown called back if you taunted during the play. And LSU ran a trick play where they had Brad Wing, the punter, run for a touchdown, and it got called back because he taunted. I think they were playing Florida. He got called back for taunting in the middle of the play. So,
which is exactly what you want from your punter. I remember the time.
If there's any position on the field you want to have that kind of swag, I think punter is a strong candidate for it.
Well, and I'll throw in. So those two will be the main guys duking it out this year. And then I wanted to, you know, kind of single out. We have had a couple guys that have brought up to me, and I haven't seen him. He has been working with the ones or doing any main punting, but Charlie Mendez, the freshman that they signed with this most recent recruiting class, he's had a couple good kicks and has turned some heads to the point where they are pretty happy with, you know, his progression and through a couple practices so far. And they're kind of looking forward to what he's going to be able to do and kind of, you know, might be the guy that, you know, ideally you're not bringing a punter in every class, maybe every couple. And he's kind of the guy that so far they've liked what they've seen from him to the point where, you know, they kind of feel that he might be able to hold down the position for a couple years after this year. Obviously we got the redshirt senior and the grad transfer. So it's going to be one of those two or both. He's not going to shouldn't really see any game action, but, you know, positive reports of yet another freshman that is showing out in his first couple weeks of practice.
Yeah. And that's definitely good to have when, you know, you're two, you know, if you're dividing the job or if somebody wins it this year, your two main candidates for the job are both out of eligibility out of this year. So it's good to kind of have the heir apparent on the roster, and you're pretty sure that you'll have a guy to go to for next year. Moving on to the other kicking position, the place kicker. The two main candidates for this job are Will Harrison, who actually was Rice's kicker back in 2017, and then lost the job last year, and then an incoming freshman, Zach Hoban. So what's it looking like between those two guys?
So far they've kind of been rationing snaps and kicks, and the way that I think we got this really when Pete Limbo was the special teams coach last year, he was pretty intentional about the workout regimen for kickers and for punters and making sure that they're not overworked, especially, you know, swinging that leg. You only need to do it so many times to figure out if you're going to be able to make that kick or what things you need to tweak.
Yeah.
So the way that Rice has been kind of operating it throughout fall camp is they've really been not doing you work with the ones, you work with the twos. When the special teams unit goes out, they kind of rotate. So when they had the scrimmage last Saturday and they kind of did, you know, like bring everybody out, do a mock game of sorts, it was Zach Hoban's day to kick with the ones. And from my vantage point, you know, it's almost impossible to see if a field goal goes in from the sideline. From my vantage point, kind of confirmed with guys on the field, it looked like he hit 4 or 5. And then he was going for probably a 50-yarder at the end of practice. And Trey Schumann actually got up and got a hand on it and blocked that. So something for him to work on, and, you know, something for special teams as a whole is kind of, you know, working through those pieces. But what we've seen so far from Zach has been encouraging. And then I think I probably posted this when he committed to Rice, right after he committed to Rice and he signed, he was doing a all-star game for some of the best prospects in the country. And he was at the Star at Dallas Cowboys Stadium and drilled one from midfield all the way through the pipe straight through. So, which, you know, I've been given the, you know, just because you can do it in a dome with no wind and perfect conditions doesn't mean you can do it in a game. But I saw that and I was like, huh, I would like to have,
you know,
a kicker that can do that.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and, you know, like evaluating kickers, you know, is one of the you know, along with probably quarterback, and I think offensive linemen's up there, is one of the by far the most difficult positions to recruit in terms of knowing who's going to pan out based on what they've done in high school. I mean, you know, you have guys who are rated number one kickers coming out of high school that don't really turn out to be much. And then guys who, you know, are walk-ons and end up at, you know, smaller programs and lower division that end up being NFL kickers. So it's one of those things where you just can't really tell, but, you know, it's good to have a guy coming in like Zach and that has a big leg and by all accounts is doing pretty well so far. So
spoken like a true Alabama fan that has had his own fair gripes of how can the guy who can recruit a blue chip at every position not find a kicker? Sometimes it is.
Yeah. Yeah. We got challenging. This local kid this year, Will Reichard, coming in that looks like he's the real deal, but man, Alabama fans are way too scarred to believe in this guy until he does, you know, some people are going to, you know, unless he goes perfect on the season, still be, you know, praying to whatever deity they believe in every time the kicker takes the field.
Yeah, well, Rice fans got spoiled with excellent kicking on both sides last season. So hopefully we'll wait and see, and we'll find some folks that can replicate in part what the guys were able to do last season.
Yep. So moving on to real quick, we can hit long snapper. I got to say, Rice's long snapper is a guy named Cam Riddle. He was the long snapper all of last season. I'll be honest, I didn't know his name until I was getting ready for this show. But I'm going to turn that around and say that it is, in fact, a compliment to a long snapper if you don't know their name, because that means they didn't mess up.
Absolutely. Just the, whoa, he has trouble with the snap is Michigan State runs through your head when you think long snappers. Cam is one of the most dependable players on this team, to the point where, like you said, if you're a Rice fan, you might not know his name, which is a good thing. So I wasn't aware that this was a thing, but Phil Steele actually does his all-conference team and includes long snappers. I don't know how Phil is getting insight on ranking his long snappers in Conference USA, but Cam Riddle was recognized fourth team All-CUSA as a long snapper by Phil Steele. So if you're getting that recognition, then, you know, at least other people are seeing that he's doing something right.
Yeah. So keep at it, Cam. Hopefully you'll be so great that we'll all forget your name by the end of the season again.
And then he'll bump up to third team. I'll see you.
Yeah. Just keep going. Moving on to the other aspect of the kicking game, the return game. So if you look at, and you know, there are various metrics out there that attempt to rank special teams units, it looks like in terms of, you know, the combination of coverages and kicking itself and things like that, that Rice was pretty good in all aspects of the kicking game in terms of, or in all aspects of the return game in terms of kickoffs and the coverage on those and punts and the coverage on those and then kickoff returns. And then they were dead last in the country in punt return yardage. Is that right?
Yeah, and that, by proxy of only having a handful of attempts and, you know, the defense not making too many stops and plus territory to where a lot of the punts that they did get to field weren't really the ideal punts that you would hope for where you have a lot of space to roam. So that was just in part because Austin Trammell was the lead punt returner last year and he's going to be handling it this year. And if we've seen what he can do in the open field, right. So it wasn't for lack of talent at the punt returner position. It was just kind of one of those weird statistical flukes where Rice was excellent. Like you were saying, at every other special teams facet, it seemed, except for punt returns. So that's kind of something that I would be very surprised if it doesn't turn around pretty quickly this year.
All right. Yeah. Let's first hope for the defense to be forcing way more punts so that Austin gets way more opportunities. Cause a lot of this is going to be out of his control. As far as the kick returns go, I think Austin, the other Austin Walter, who we'll talk about in a bit, handled most of the kickoff returns last season. It looks like one Austin, the returning Austin, will be involved in that job again there. And then maybe our other Austin, not returning Austin's brother, Aston, will also be involved in there.
Say that so, five times fast.
Yeah, right. yeah, so it looks like are those going to be the main two guys in terms of being involved with the kick returns?
Yeah, so as far as kick returns last year, the kind of guys they cycled through were primarily the running backs and the wide receivers, and that's kind of who has been at this point in fall camp. You don't really need to pin down one guy or two guys at right. the kick return position. So we've seen basically both position groups when they split out and to start doing special teams work and one-on-ones, things like that. Both the running backs and the wide receivers have been taking kick return reps, and you know it's all – they punt it and they run against air. They haven't had any full kickoff all personnel yet. So it's hard to judge too much against that. But I think you're going to kind of see after Aston and Austin, guys like Juma, Tavion, maybe Cam Montgomery. He's pretty quick, but kind of smaller. And then we haven't really seen if there's another wide receiver yet. I would be surprised if somebody doesn't kind of emerge and get their name into the mix, kind of Zane Knipe and Jake Bailey is who I'm thinking about that, yeah. you know, could be there. And Zane, I'm pretty sure, was returning kicks in high school. So he has some experience and he's the kind of guy that has that track speed that, you know, I'm kind of envisioning. He can feel the punt well, but it almost to the point where, you know, Forrest Gump, hand him the ball and then just watch him take off like a rocket. So yeah. he's plenty talented to catch the ball, field himself, turn up field and go. But, you know, it should be exciting to once we get to see him take some reps, you know, against guys running at him.
Yeah. And just as a kind of an overview there, in general, just broadly speaking, the difference between the guys you want at punt return and kick return, there are a lot of people that will do both, but punt returns, since the coverage units are often basically on top of them by the time they catch the ball, you kind of prioritize somebody who's kind of shifty and can maybe break through tackles and kind of make himself some space at punt returner, and just out and out speed is not necessarily as important. Whereas a kick returner, since guys generally build up a head of steam after they catch the ball and are moving at full speed by the time they encounter the coverage units, you do kind of prioritize that straight line open field speed a little bit more at kick return positions. All right, I think that's gonna do it. Anything else for the our preview of the 2019 specialists for Rice?
I think that's it, and I will, you know, kind of, you know, peel behind the curtain, I'll say, throughout this entire process and when we're talking through, I am reading over and going through my notes and kind of the guys, the comments that I've made in the Rice preview, going through name by name. I have all these guys in here and punters, kickers, and, you know, kind of their role on the team and kind of worked through some notes. So we've learned a little bit in camp, and but not to the point where anything is too far out. So I've been looking through that, and you know, as an added bonus, if you've been following online or social media all week, a giveaway, because everyone loves free stuff. So if you've already purchased a season preview, that's great. Go to our website or follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You can go ahead and find the giveaway. Just go ahead and put in your email and you get 10 free bonus entries for supporting us already, get a chance to win some gear. And if you haven't yet, this is your chance to stop waiting around to buy the preview and get added chances to win some free stuff. So want to go ahead and plug that before we get into some more stuff. And I guess we transition now, and we've kind of talked about Rice special teamers, and now's our chance to catch up with somebody who's doing it in the NFL and hear from Jack. Welcome back to another edition of the Roost Podcast. This week, we're in the middle of talking about special teams, so I thought it only made sense to go back and bring one of Rice's most recent special teamers back to the podcast. So welcome, Jack Fox, and how are things going?
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm pumped to be on the show. I'm right in the meat of training camp right now. I just got done with our first training camp game, or first preseason game, and getting ready to go to Pittsburgh on Friday.
So how has this entire experience been for you? I guess peel back the onion a little bit, go back all the way to April, and you were sitting in your house waiting for the NFL draft to wrap up. What was that entire experience like?
It was really interesting and really fun. I mean, obviously, I would have loved to be drafted, but I had some friends from Rice, some high school friends. A lot of my family came to St. Louis, and we watched together and kind of had a little draft party. And at the end of the day, I ended up signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was really excited with that. It's a team that's close to St. Louis, where I'm from. And I thought it was a really good situation for me and my family, and a good situation for my friends to come watch games. And, I was really excited about it. And after that, I went down to Kansas City and for OTAs. That was the beginning of the summer. That went well. That went pretty well. It wasn't like full practices, but it was just like t-shirts and helmets, and kind of gave us a chance to acclimate to Kansas City, into the system and the coaches and the other players. And then so far it's just been really good.
So you mentioned being closest Kansas City and, you know, roots being in the Midwest. How many family members were in attendance for your first game at Arrowhead?
I had a good amount. I had my parents, I had two uncles, a bunch of my parents' friends, and I had some friends from high school as well. So it was a fun time.
And I know you're super processed and, you know, very focused and able to compartmentalize at some point, but what's it like taking your first snap in an NFL game with the full stadium around you?
Oh, it was cool. My first punt, I was definitely nervous going out there, but I was lucky enough to go out there before the first punt and hit a kickoff. So I think they kind of got the whole, at least the first experience out of my system. But yeah, when I went out there for my first punt, I was pretty nervous. I get nervous about every punt I go out for, even in college. You kind of get that feeling of being nervous, and then it kind of washes away once you get ready to punt. But I was definitely nervous. It was a cool experience.
And, you know, you got to take it one punt at a time and one game at a time. But I think it was your first punt and went 50 some odd yards, and the guy muffed it and y'all got the ball back and scored.
So yeah. So
can you draw
a
direct conclusion to that?
Well, it's funny because my actual first punt went maybe 35 or 40 yards. It was a bad punt. I was really nervous, and I actually scraped the ground with my foot before I hit the ball. And there ended up being offsetting penalties on that play.
So it doesn't count in the box score.
It doesn't count. And they gave me another opportunity, and it ended up being a 50-yard punt. So, yeah, I was pretty nervous on the sideline after my first punt, just praying that the referees would let me punt it again. And they did, and Andy Reid told me to get a better punt off that time, and thank God I did.
Yes, coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you got a couple punts in, but you're sharing duties through preseason with Dustin Colquitt, a veteran guy who's been there for, I guess he's been in the league for a good while now. What's that experience been like, you know, working with him and, you know, having someone that's, I guess, been there and done that for, you know, a pro team for a good long while?
Yeah, it's really cool. I think this is his 15th training camp so far. So, and all of the Kansas City Chiefs too, which is really, but he's just a total professional, really, really nice, funny guy. And I'm really lucky to be in camp with him and learn as much as I can from him, just even indirectly.
Yeah, just kind of watching someone who's figured out how it works and kind of refining your game with tips and tricks along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And competing's never easy, and I think we have a good relationship where we're friendly with each other, and you know, we're loose and laid back, and then when it's time to go punt, we kind of turn it up, and we understand that it's a competition. And I'm just really lucky that that he has that mindset as well as I do, and it's just gone well so far.
It's kind of the kicker gene.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we're around each other so much, especially when everybody else is in meetings and we don't really have a whole lot to do, that it would just be so awkward if it were anything other than what it is. It was kind of a friendly atmosphere outside of the field.
Well, that's great. And you've got one game down and a couple more to go.
Yeah, we I think we have four total preseason games. So yeah, one down.
And so I got asked, I know you've told me that you're a huge football fan and draft fanatic coming into actually being in the NFL. Has your feeling on preseason games changed now that you're kicking in them?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Even though I'm a big football fan, like I was never a big like preseason football fan. Like I don't remember ever watching a preseason football game. Yeah, I mean, especially in Kansas City, I mean, they pretty much packed the stadium. It felt like a real game, especially in the first half.
And I know you were busy on Saturday night, but one of your former teammates, Austin Walter, he's signed up with the 49ers, and he led the 49ers in total touches and was a workhorse for them in his debut. Have you been able to – I know you've been busy. Have you been able to keep up with him and, you know, some of the other Rice alums that are out in the NFL?
Yeah, I've kept up with Austin a lot. I'm really, really happy for him. We worked a lot together in the offseason. I'd punt to him. He would catch balls for me. And so, yeah, I'm really happy about that. And we actually play San Francisco in our third preseason game. So I'm really hoping I get to punt a ball to him.
I was going to say, has there been any friendly wagers made yet?
No, not yet. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to shoot him a text before the game and give him trouble about hopefully muffing a punt.
Yeah, and what, loser has to buy KC barbecue?
Yeah, I like that.
So Midwest roots, but it wasn't Houston for a couple years. The ultimate question of what's better, Texas barbecue or Kansas City barbecue?
Kansas City barbecue, no doubt.
Oh, are you sure you want to stand on that?
No, I'm positive. I'm sorry, but it's just the truth.
All right, well. We'll have to go and we'll swap some ribs sometime and we can have an official test. But getting back on to, I guess, the Houston side of things. So this is the first time that you've not opened fall camp with Rice in several years. I know you have your own world that you're dealing with now, but is it kind of surreal with a lot of new faces and not the same guys that you've been around for 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird. It's like being a freshman all over again. By the time you're a junior and senior in college, like the whole thing's pretty comfortable and you know everybody and fall camp's really not that bad at that point. But I definitely miss it.
Well, we've had it's been a lot of busy without you in the special teams room looks to some degree the same and to some degree different. We have now that the punting duties are open and Hayden Tabola's graduated as well. We have a lot of new faces in the special teams room. So I just kind of wanted to kind of get your insight. Tell us, and for Rice fans who haven't seen him kick on Saturdays yet about Chris Barnes and what he's like, you know, behind the scenes and what do you think about him as a person and a punter?
Yeah, I love Chris. Chris has been one of my best friends since I was at Rice. And you know, he's an exceptional punter. He really is. He has a really good leg, and I mean, he's really consistent as well. I mean, I don't think it's going to drop off very much. I think that he's going to have a really, really good year.
And any funny anecdotes or funny stories that Chris would love to hear, you know, broadcast on a podcast?
Let me think. So my fantasy football name the last couple of years has been Chris's Mentor. Just because they do these things where the seniors are the mentors to the freshmen, and since Chris was also a punter, and he actually became a punter after I was a punter, so I kind of took him under my wing, and I gave him some trouble about that, and yeah, my fantasy football team name is Chris's Mentor.
Well, the real question is, who won the fantasy football matchup last year, you or Chris?
Oh, I did. I won the whole league. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it for NCAA purposes, but... Yeah,
no, this was just for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing on it, but Dragon Rights, of course. But yeah, I won the league last year. Chris isn't very good at fantasy football. He doesn't know a lot about football.
Oh, there we go. All right, Chris, those are fighting words. We have, sorry, I should have introduced you not as NFL punter Jack Fox, but as fantasy football champion Jack Fox. We'll catch that one for next time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a couple other guys switching over to kickers that you were with, Will Harrison and Nick McQuarrie. You spent a lot of time around both of those guys. What do you think about them for this coming season?
Yeah, I think they should have a good season as well. I mean, Will started 2 years ago. So, I mean, he has the experience, and I mean, he's a real laid back guy, and I think he has a good personality to be a kicker. And I assume that he's going to have a good fall camp and a good season.
And then two guys that you haven't met, Adam Nunez has transferred in from TCU. And so he's been a 3-year starter and has looked sharp so far. And then Zach Hoban has been, you know, trading off with the kicking duties. He's a freshman with this incoming class. And I think the highlight I saw from him was he was a part of an all-star camp of sorts before he got here in Jerry World at, you know, Dallas Cowboys Stadium. And he kicked a field goal from the Dallas Cowboys star. So my question is for you, you know, perfect conditions, you're in a dome. How far could you kick a field goal from?
Oh, man. I don't know. I think my problem would be more about the accuracy than the leg.
Well, this is kind of like, you know, a trick shot. You only have to do – we only show the video once. You can kick it 50 times.
Yeah, I could definitely make one from 65. I think 65 is probably my limit, although I'd probably have to try it 15 times before I hit it straight. So, no, I saw that video. That was really cool. Zach has a crazy good leg. He's going to be really good, and especially kickoffs this year. I think he's going to boot a bunch of them back in the end zone.
And see, now that you say 65, I'm going to make sure we get this – podcast to coach and, you know, make sure, you know, in the second half, fourth quarter, he gets you in a game and lets you try it out.
Oh, just for fun, right? Yeah, it's actually funny. I've seen Harrison Butker, the Chiefs kicker, make a 70-yard field goal with like a live snap and hold. Like, that guy is crazy. So I don't think I'm going to have too many opportunities.
Yeah, well, you know, he's had a while to work on it.
Yeah, I mean, he's only a year older than I am, so I don't know if he's had too much more time. That guy's a stud, though. So watch out for Harrison Butker. He'll be a good fantasy guy to have for all you fantasy guys.
About to say, do we need to start a petition to get punters on fantasy teams? That the next thing?
No. I think we need to leave the punters out of it. We like to stay as low-key as we can.
Now, I have seen you throw and run.
Yeah.
You know, if it comes to you, you got to be, you know, what, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh guy up? When you need a quarterback?
I'd hope so. I mean, I think I used to see that, like, Shane Leckler was, like, the emergency quarterback back in the day for the Texans. So, I mean, hopefully if I could reach that at some point in my career, that would be really cool.
As all-star or pro bowl punter/emergency backup quarterback?
No, just emergency quarterback. I don't even need to get on the field. I just need to start warming up every time the quarterback gets hurt.
Now, if you need someone to hold a clipboard, you call me. I can do that.
No, I don't want to be holding the clipboard. I'm telling you, all I need to do is every time a quarterback gets hurt, I just go to the sideline and start warming up, throwing the ball around, just to, like, prove.
Get your spotlight on TV.
Right. Just to
prove. Jack Fox. He could go in.
Yeah, if maybe there's, like, a bus crash before the game, like, maybe I'd be the guy.
All right. Well, you heard it here first. Jack Fox, emergency quarterback in the making. Before we wrap up, any big picture thoughts? I know you were part of Mike Bloomgren's first year at Rice, and, you know, they've been in fall camp and ready for year two. What do you think about the Owls season coming up?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Owls. I mean, every year that Coach Bloom has to recruit and kind of instill his system in on the whole team, I think they're going to get better. So I think you're going to see, like, a steady rise in wins every year. So, I mean, I think if we can win 2 or 3 more games than we did the year before, I think that's going to be a good mark for the next few years.
All right. Well, I know I'm certainly excited to get to watch year two and get to watch you kick a couple more footballs in the pros. You said next up is Pittsburgh, and then you got a couple more opportunities. We'll be able to get to see you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got Pittsburgh and then San Francisco and Green Bay for the preseason.
Well, absolutely. Well, thanks for jumping on with us, everybody. This was Jack Fox, NFL punter and emergency backup quarterback, former Rice Owl punter. And, you know, Jack, we wish you the best, and thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I'm a big Roos fan, so it's an honor to be on the show.
There we go. We got a nice Roos plug at the end. I appreciate that. Thanks, Jack.
Yes, sir.
All right, and thanks again to Jack. Really great to hear from him, and we definitely wish him the best in that ongoing battle to get that punter position in Kansas City. Jack is one of, I believe, 11. I think it's 11 former Rice Owls who are currently on NFL rosters. Now, obviously, we're in the middle of training camp, in the middle of the preseason, so those rosters are bigger. So some of these guys are definitely going to be fighting for spots going forward as we move into the season. But, you know, there's definitely a solid mix of guys on there who are pretty established starters or who have kind of firmly entrenched themselves in starting spots. You know, for instance, Vance McDonald, who had kind of a breakout season with the Steelers last year, and it's now kind of, they lost their other tight end, Jesse James, went to Detroit, I think. I can't remember exactly where he went, but now Vance is going to be kind of their main guy at tight end. And, you know, especially since the Steelers don't have Antonio Brown anymore, he's probably going to be expected to take an even bigger role in the passing game now. But I actually just read, if any of you are subscribers to The Athletic, there was a story on Vance that just went up pretty recently about how he's kind of expected to take a bigger role this season, but it also included the fun tidbit that he and his wife just bought a farm about 50 miles outside of Pittsburgh. So
there you go.
He's doing well for himself.
Yeah. How about that? And so like Vance, we have, so there's nine guys who were in the NFL last year and have either re-signed with their current team or were on the move and landed somewhere else during the off season. But those nine, Chris Boswell, Philip Gaines, Christian Covington, Bryce Callahan, we haven't seen very much from them, maybe sparingly throughout the preseason so far. And the two guys we have seen, which talked to Jack, obviously he's having a great preseason through his first game, and he'll be have a couple more opportunities. We Austin Walter, who we touched on when we were talking specialist before Jack's interview, kind of was the kick returner for Rice and was the do-it-all guy last year. He saw his NFL debut last weekend with the 49ers, and he had a fantastic outing. He led the team in total touches, had 70 all-purpose yards, 13 carries, 38 yards, 32 yards through the air on 5 catches, which, you know, as I kind of watching this happen and, you know, following along on Gamecast, I'm watching, you know, there's 10-yard reception, an 8-yard run. I'm like, this is what he did at Rice. Like, he's just kind of the guy that finds the ball in space and then squeezes through and finds hold. So I'm pretty excited. I thought if he was going to find a spot to latch on in the NFL, going to a Shanahan offense like that would be perfect with how he likes to use his running backs. And Austin's kind of the prototypical guy for that offense to see him get that shot and make the most of it. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And it's great for him that he's in a situation where, you know, it's going to be a pretty tight roster crunch in San Francisco, especially because they like to keep they have Kyle Juszczyk, who's one of the few fullbacks and one of the better of the remaining fullbacks in the NFL. So the roster's pretty tight at back for them. But, you know, to be able to show that he has that ability to kind of flex out and catch the ball and do a lot of different things, you know, versatility and being able to contribute in the passing game is so important for running backs in the NFL these days, with the way the position has been devalued a little bit. And I want to clarify on that for those of you who have maybe been have seen some of that debate, but haven't waded into it. Running the ball is still important especially in certain situations in short yardage and near the goal line and stuff. Everyone pretty much agrees on that. The issue is that, you know, yards per carry is pretty much determined by box numbers in the NFL. Like, it's the correlation is incredibly strong there and seems to generally be more dependent on the offensive line than on the running back himself. So the real proposition there is not that running backs don't matter or that the running game doesn't matter. It's that running back production is very replaceable. And so one way that you can, as a back, make yourself less replaceable is to give contributions in the passing game. And so it's really exciting for Austin. You know, it's good for him, one, that he has that skill and that he has the demonstrated record of showing that skill in college, but also to be, you know, even in the preseason, be able to demonstrate that skill.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, this goes without saying, but it's really, really hard to make an NFL roster as an undrafted free agent. It not many guys, like we saw with Philip Lindsay with the Broncos last year, is a one in a million kind of thing. So he has an uphill battle. He has a couple things going for him, you know, with the injuries that San Francisco has had at the running back spot. There's opportunities there. And just kind of a note on Austin, I remember watching him at his pro day, and, you know, whether it was, you know, the form for the 40-yard dash or, you know, getting his feet right for the broad jump or something like that, you know, there was always, you know, a scout or somebody was just like, you know, here's a more technical way that you could probably be doing this a little better. And, like, you know, doing the testing and the things that you know, get you drafted in today's NFL, like, that wasn't his cup of tea. But he's the kind of guy that when you go and you put a football in his hands, that is electric. And so I don't know how to quantify that, but I'm hoping for his sake that the more chances he gets to touch the ball in the preseason, it can be one of those hard decisions where, like, well, I don't really know what the metrics say or the yards per carry, but he's the kind of guy that we want to have that can do a couple things, that can play special teams, that can find a role to fit on the team somewhere. So he's the kind of versatile piece that if you're looking to carry, you know, that extra guy who can fill three or four roles, he's that kind of extra guy. So that's kind of, you know, my read of how I see how at least how owners like to do things. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and we definitely, you know, extending from that, we want to wish the best of luck to all the guys like I think Philip Gaines in Cleveland now, and Jordan Taylor with the Vikings, and Luke Wilson with the Raiders. All the guys that are kind of, you know, maybe with new teams that are kind of fighting for roster spots, we want to wish those guys the best of luck in continuing their NFL careers.
Yeah, I think the only ones we didn't hit, Jordan Taylor's with the Vikings and Emmanuel Ellerby is with the Seahawks. And other than that, yeah, I think we've touched on all of them. And like we said, we haven't really seen much of them yet during the preseason. But, you know, hopefully we'll see a little bit more, and then we'll absolutely see most of those guys making plays on Sundays throughout the year. So
definitely,
we got a good crop of 11 NFL owls and counting. So exciting time as, you know, we get ready for football season. Going to be looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah, for sure. We'll be back next week with our preview of the Rice defense. We'll see y'all then, and Rice fight.
This show was edited and produced by Carter Spires. It features music from Joseph McDade.